السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة 100 حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. فالحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ثم أما بعد. Everyone, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today is the first of inshallah 7 continuous evenings where I'm going to try to finish up the last portion of Surah Al-Baqarah. We're going to be covering from ayah number 261 all the way to the end, 286, or maybe we won't get all the way to the end, but at least very, very close to the end. This section of the Qur'an is very unique to the Qur'an. There are not other places in the Qur'an that are similar to it. Those of you that are familiar with the study of the Qur'an, you know that there are some passages of the Qur'an that have similar passages elsewhere. There are similarities. But this place in the Qur'an is actually kind of a standalone. It's unique to itself. There's no other place like it. Especially the place we're starting from, 261, all the way to 274, this range of ayat, rather long ayat, each of them, are about spending in the path of Allah and Allah's comprehensive guidance on the subject. What does it mean? And why is it important to understand the subject of spending in the path of Allah? Okay? From every point of view. There are multiple angles and points of view that are described. It's not a simple subject. It's a very beautiful and profound subject. And something that applies to everyone. You know, you would think if there's a conversation about spending in the path of Allah, it must be for the wealthy. Right? This is a conversation that you should have with millionaires. You know, or thousandaires or something. But not for regular people, not somebody who's on minimum wage, not somebody who's barely getting by. But actually, the majority of the people that the Qur'an was talking to when it was revealed were people that were very poor. There were barely people that were surviving. The muhajirun themselves were homeless, right? They were living in somebody else's home, and they had left all their belongings behind. And the Ansar, the people of Medina, were barely getting by. Very few wealthy people. As a matter of fact, of the hundreds of companions, there's only a handful that we know by name, you know, who have significant wealth. Whose names keep coming up when it comes to giving charity. Everybody else can barely afford themselves. That's why we had the kind of meager army that we did at Badr. We didn't have huge, massive armies. To have an army, you have to have finances. We didn't have those kinds of finances. So the ayat that we're going to be talking about, one of the first, you know, preconceived notion that I want to eliminate, is in fact a set of ayat that apply to every one of us. They are guidance that's relevant to every one of us, not just those who have disposable income or wealth and things like that. The second thing that I want to share with you is some overarching commentary about the notion of spending. As a matter of fact, human beings were put on this earth, and Allah Azza wa Jalla, from the very, very beginning, He decreed that part of showing us showing gratitude to Allah should be by way of spending. This is from the beginning of humanity. As a matter of fact, the sons of Adam alayhi salam, Habil and Qabil, right? How were they supposed to show their dedication to Allah? إِذْ قَرَّبَ قُرْبَانًا. Surah Al-A'raf describes that they had to make a sacrifice. Sacrifice, by the way, is sacrifice of an animal that you own. You know, nowadays when we think of money, we only think of cash. But your assets are also your wealth, right? Your car is also your wealth. Your furniture is also your wealth. Back then, your animal is also your wealth. So they had to sacrifice their animal to show their loyalty to Allah. So the idea of spending for Allah as an act of worship is actually one of the most ancient old acts of worship from the beginning of humanity and continues to this day. It's something that was extremely well emphasized in the biblical account. In the Old Testament, particularly in Jewish tradition, there's less talk of prayer and more talk of sacrifice. In their tradition. In our tradition, there's those two things go hand in hand. Aqimu salawa, atu zakah, right? Prayer and giving of charity go hand in hand. But in the Jewish tradition, in their scripture, what they have of it now, there's an overwhelming emphasis on sacrifice, on giving. Okay? But now, when we come to the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal describes this notion of giving in different language. So I want to share some of that with you. One phrase He might use is giving, feeding people. يُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ. You know, to give food. That's the kind of charitable giving, to give food, to feed people. He'll say, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى. The one who gave, just generally giving. Giving, He doesn't even specify what kind of giving. It could be you gave your neighbor some salt.
You gave somebody a ride. Just giving in any sense. It's broad. He says, وَالَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَالَهُ يَتَزَكَّى. The one who gives his wealth in order to cleanse himself. The Quran will describe, and these are early revelations by the way. This is not when the law of zakat was given. That was later on. This is early, early revelations. Allah will say, those who give their wealth to cleanse themselves. So now we're learning what giving does. Giving purifies you. Giving purifies you. And actually the mandatory giving itself is called zakat. And zakat comes from the verb zakayazku, which means to be pure. Purification itself. When you give that wealth, it purifies the rest of your wealth, it purifies your intentions, it purifies your iman, it's actually it's a cleansing of yourself. Just like prayer is a purifying act. We literally physically purify ourselves, wear pure clothes. When we stand before Allah in prayer, the same effect, the spiritual effect is carried by zakat itself, of purification. وَمَا أَتَيْتُم مِّن زَكَاتٍ. It's actually interesting that the word zakat, which we think of as a sharia term, 2.5% of your wealth, you are all familiar with one of the five pillars of Islam. In Surah Al-Rum, Allah actually used the word before zakat was mandated as obligatory giving. It was actually mentioned as wealth that purifies, suggesting that the Arabs were familiar with the notion. Arabs were, even before the coming of Islam, were familiar with the idea of some kind of charitable giving that is good for the soul. And that's what they called zakat also. إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ. Surah At-Tawbah will tell us another word, sadaqat. And sadaqat in Arabic, like, you know, Urdu speakers, you know, they know the term sadaqah. For example, it's borrowed from the Arabic language. Comes from the word sidq. Sidq means truth. And sadaqat is actually sincere, genuine giving. You gave with no strings attached, no other intention. Your intentions were pure and true as you gave, and that's captured inside the word sadaqat. Then of course Allah will use even stronger language. وَجَاهِدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ. Struggle, fight, you know, and exhaust yourselves in the cause of Allah with your monies and yourselves. When we think of jihad, we think of somebody picking up a sword and going running into Badr and Uhud and Ahzab. That's what we remember of the seerah. But Allah says, before He mentions anfusikum, yourselves, He says, bi amwalikum wa anfusikum. You know, struggle with yourself, with your monies, and then yourselves. Put your life on the line, but before you put your life on the line, you must put your money on the line. And why is that? Because you cannot, the notion here, I'll probably spend a couple of minutes telling you now so I don't have to repeat it later, is that you and I spend a lot of time trying to earn a living. And the Prophet ﷺ would describe it in a hadith as ba'i'un nafsahu. That every person is literally selling themselves. What does that mean, selling themselves? Now it sounds dirty, but it's actually a powerful statement. When I walk into the office, and I stay there from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., doing whatever it is that I do, I didn't do what I wanted to do, because what I wanted to do was sleep. And when I woke up, what I wanted to do was sleep some more. That's what I wanted to do. But I sat there in the office doing what I must do to earn a living, isn't it? I didn't get to spend time with my family, I didn't make personal phone calls, I didn't, you know, go learn what I wanted to learn or enjoy myself, I was doing work. That part of my life, that part of my day was not owned by me. It was owned by my work. I gave it up. I gave a part of my life up for that paycheck. So when you receive that paycheck at the end of the week or 2 weeks or at the end of the month, then it doesn't just represent money, it represents a sacrifice of your own life. A piece of your life was given away for you to earn that cash that you received, you see. And so spending that is not easy because you put a lot of work and a lot of sacrifice, and the most valuable thing you and I will ever own is our time. That's all we have. Our entire life is, all it is breaths. Hayatuka anfas. In and out, these seconds, that's all we have. We gave so many of those up at work. And why did we give them up? So we can earn some wealth. And that wealth is now being asked of us, it's not easy to give up. So it's like giving up a part of ourselves. And that's why he says, the first jihad, if you're gonna be ready to give your life to Allah, well, much before then, you better be ready to give what you own. Give of what you own. And then somebody could say, well fine, I earned 1,000, I'm gonna give $2, it's good. But Allah says, no, you're not gonna get to real being truly good and stable, حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, until you spend from what you love. until you feel a little pinch. Until then, you're not going to reach what Allah wants you to reach. Even though Allah made the legal standard a minimum. Give a little charity and you're done. 2.5% and you're not asked anymore. Even though morally speaking in the Quran, there's more asked of you. But the notion here that I'm trying to describe is, spending in the path of Allah is actually a consistent struggle. وَجَاهِدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ. Then of course the final language used in the Quran for this notion of spending, spending in the path of Allah, is مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. Who will give Allah an open-ended good loan? قَرْضًا حَسَنًا is an Arabic phrase, ancient phrase for open-ended loan. Meaning I borrow some money from you and I tell you I'll pay you back whenever I can. I don't say in a month, I don't say in a year, I don't say by April 30th, I just say whenever I can. And you say that's fine, whenever you can. Open-ended. That Allah says, why don't you give me a loan? We're like, Allah, the owner of all things, why is He asking me for a loan? I would argue, from to my understanding, this is actually to put the believer to shame. To remind the believer how greedy they've become. I often give the example of a child to help understand this concept before we get into the ayat themselves. You know, I have a kid, I have many children, but I have one of my kids, they're little, and I'm having some ice cream. And my kid's saying, Ba, Abba, can I have some? Can I have some? Can I have, and I said, no, mine. And I said, can I have some? Please, just a little bit. Just a little bit. Can I have some? The thing with kids is if you give them ice cream, like you try to hand them a spoon, like, no, no, no. I'd like to hold it myself. And then have some. So I say, fine, you can have one bite. Hold it. And they take it. And they don't just have one bite, they have two bites. Three bites. And I let them. And then I say, can I have it back? And what do they say? Mine! It's split second, you forget who owns what. Allah gave us. He gave us from our birth. He gave us life. He gave us a body. He gave us limbs. He gave us parents. He gave us clothes on our bodies. He gave us shelter. He's given us our minds, our abilities. He's given and He's given and He's given and He's given. And eventually when you're old enough and you're making enough, He says, give back. And what do we say? Mine. What do you mean give? What do you mean it's yours? It's mine. And He says, fine, you've become so greedy and you've forgotten so much, so it's so far beyond your consciousness that this is not owned by you. Why don't you just let me borrow it then? That's Allah saying, why don't you just let me borrow it? I'll give you back. You're so greedy, I'll give it back to you. That's actually, in a sense, put the believer to shame of how much they've forgotten. That it is Allah Himself who gave you to begin with. And now He has to come to you in the language of asking for a loan. Another parable that I'd like you to understand about loaning, is and I mention it often, is the one of a mother. How would you, any of you men here, feel if your mother came up to you and said, son, can I borrow $10? I promise I'll pay you back. How ashamed would you feel? What does your mother think of you? That she didn't just tell you, son, buy this for me. Son, give me. She had to come and ask you, could you please lend me $10? I promise I'll pay you back as soon as I can. You know, in Urdu they said, chullu bhar paani mein doob ke mar jao. Right? You should die out of shame. You should drown yourself. That your mom thinks you're so greedy and so stingy, that she wouldn't even say, give it to me, she had to say, I'll pay you back. What your mother has done for you, and what she said to you right now, should be so embarrassing to you, isn't it? Now imagine Allah saying, why don't you give me a good loan? You see what Allah does when He says that? He puts us to shame. Like how greedy and how holding on to our material wealth have we become, that Allah resorts to that language for us to get it. For us to realize what we've been doing. Now I want to take a step further. The ayah that we're going to talk about, where we're going to begin, is going to use the phrase, يُنْفِقُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Those who spend in the path of Allah. That's the phrase. Those who spend in the path of Allah. And I wanted to first help you understand from the prophetic tradition, and the larger Islamic tradition, what does it mean to spend in the path of Allah? What does that include? What are some of its implications? Can you say, for example, that if you're spending on your family, is that spending in the path of Allah? Or if you're spending on the masjid, is that spending in the path of Allah? Which one of these actually counts as spending in the path of Allah? So let's look at some of these narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. مَرَّ عَلَى النَّبِي sallallahu alaihi wasallam رَجُلٌ فَرَأَى أَصْحَابَ النَّبِي عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِنْ جِلْدِهِ وَنَشَاطِهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed by this person. And the companions also saw him. And this guy was exhausted doing work. And they were actually, مَا أَعْجَبَهُمْ. They were amazed at how much hard work he's doing. They don't describe what his work was. Maybe he was a carpenter. Maybe he was working on metal. Maybe he was stitching something. Whatever he was doing. But he was putting really a lot of work into it. He was engrossed in that work, right? And so they said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لَوْ كَانَ هَذَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Messenger of Allah, if only this guy put this much effort in the path of Allah. They look at this guy who's doing this work and they say, look at how much effort he makes. Look at how much he's exhausting himself in his career. If only he was doing that for Allah. Because he's doing that for his own wealth, he's doing that for his own income, for to make money. So sad. What does the Prophet say? فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِنْ كَانَ خَرَجَ يَسْعَى عَلَى وَلَدِهِ صِغَارًا فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَإِنْ خَرَجَ يَسْعَى عَلَى نَفْسِهِ يَعِفُّهَا فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And another narration, عَلَى وَالِدَيْهِ in أَبَوَيْهِ الشَّيْخَيْنِ. He says, if this person is, he's come out of home making these efforts to make money, to provide for his little kids, then that is in the path of Allah. And if he's doing this to take care of his old parents who can't take care of themselves anymore, then this is in the path of Allah. And if he's doing that to survive, even get by just by himself, then it is in the path of Allah. فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. وَإِنْ خَرَجَ يَسْعَى. Then he says, وَإِنْ خَرَجَ رِيَاءً وَتَفَاخُرًا. But if he has come out to make more money, and his goal at the end of making that money is so he can show to people how much money he's made, so he can come out in full bling and glory, you know, he's making that money because he really wants to get that car. It's okay to get that car, but why does he want to get that car? So he can drive it slowly into the masjid parking lot. You know, after like 3 car washes. So people go, oh, you know. If that's the case, then he says, فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Then that's in the path of shaitan. In other words, some people have to work hard to fulfill their family responsibilities, isn't it? And if that's what people are doing, if that's why they're working extra hard, then that is in the path of Allah. That is noble in and of itself. Furthering that notion, and this, by the way, and the next one is from Bukhari. قال له وإنك لن تنفق نفقة تبتغي بها وجه الله إلا أجرت عليها حتى ما تجعل في امرأتك. He says, the Prophet ﷺ says to Abu Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, he says, you will never spend a single bit, the least amount that you can possibly spend. You won't spend a single penny, you could say in our language. You won't spend a single penny, except that you will see Allah's face as a reward. If you did it to please Allah, you will see the reward with Allah. Even, now what's the example of spending for the path of Allah? What did he say? Even the piece of food you put in your wife's mouth. Even the piece of food you put in your wife's mouth. Whoa. What in the world? Now we're learning that when we spend on our family, that is actually in the path of Allah. When we take care of the responsibilities in our family, that's in the path of Allah. Let me just make sure that we're all clear about this. Because there are many Muslim families today in which the wife makes money and the husband doesn't. Or if the husband makes money, he doesn't give the wife anything. He doesn't give her anything. She's literally like begging for basic groceries and he's like, no, go get a job yourself. What happened to the $100 I gave you 2 years ago? Or whatever. Or she gets a job herself and then she goes and gets the groceries and she brings the groceries and he breaks off a piece of banana and puts it in her mouth from her groceries and says, look, I fulfilled the hadith. No. That's not what this is talking about. When you make an earning, and then you provide for your family. جاءتني مسكينة. Beautiful hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha in Sahih Muslim. A poor woman came to me. تحمل ابنتين لها. A poor woman came to me, she had 2 little girls. They came to Aisha radiallahu anha. فأطعمتها ثلاثة مرات. فأعطت كل واحدة منها منهما تمرة. So I gave them 3 dates. That's all I had. 3 people came, she gave them 3 dates. By the way, this is not 3 watermelons, it's 3 dates. That's all she had. So she gave it to them. So she says,
وَرَفَعَتْ إِلَى فِيهَا تَمْرَةً لِتَأْكُلَهَا فَاسْتَطْعَمَتْهَا ابْنَتَهَا فَشَقَّتِ التَّمْرَةَ الَّتِي كَانَتْ تُرِيدُ أَن تَأْكُلَهَا بَيْنَهُمَا فَأَعْجَبَنِي شَأْنُهَا.
Oh Allah. See, so the 2 girls ate their dates, and the mom's about to eat their date. She wants to eat their date, and she sees the 2 girls are looking at the date that she's eating. So she stopped her hand midway, and she split the date in two, and she gave 1/2 to the first girl, 1/2 to the other girl, and the mom didn't eat anything herself. And Aisha is looking at this and she says, I was amazed by this. So I mentioned it to the Prophet ﷺ, that I saw a mom today who was needy herself, and when I gave them these 3 dates, 2 were for the girls, the third one she was about to eat, and I could see how hungry she was, but she split it open and she gave it to the 2 girls instead. So the Prophet ﷺ says this. He says, فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَوْجَبَ لَهَا بِهَا الْجَنَّةِ أَوْ أَعْتَقَهَا بِهَا مِنَ النَّارِ. Because of that one act, Allah has mandated that this woman will go to heaven. Because of that one act. And because of that one act, Allah has mandated that she is shielded from the fire. The fire will not touch her because of what she did. What we're trying to get across here is when we talk about spending in the path of Allah, the first recipients of that is who? Is our family. But please don't misunderstand. I don't mean that there's an orphan in the neighborhood and you went and bought a third PS4 for your children, for their third bedroom. That's not what I mean. What I mean is when your family is in need. When your extended family is in need. When your cousins are in need. When your uncle's in need. When family, and then by extension family, is in need, they are your first recipients of help. They deserve first. And that's actually, you know, وَأُولُوا الْأَرْحَامِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلَى بِبَعْضٍ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. The people that are connected by the womb, family relations, they take priority in the book of Allah. Allah says that himself. They are priority in the book of Allah. So now, another beautiful hadith on this subject. I wanted to start with that because, you know, when we think about spending in the path of Allah, we think of spending in the path of da'wah, spending in the path of, you know, building masajid, and all of those are valid things. But what gets overlooked are some of the most fundamental. And there are people who are willing to donate to a masjid but not give to their family, even though their family's in need. And that's a problem. That is a very serious problem. That's a hypocrisy in our deen that needs to be addressed. So now, فَمِنْ ذَلِكَ مَا رَوَاهُ مُسْلِمْ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ مَرْفُوعًا. This is a marfu hadith from Abu Hurairah. It's also in Sahih Muslim. دِنَارٌ أَنْفَقْتَهُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. A dollar. I'm saying dollar. Back then the currency was dinar. Dinar was gold currency. Okay? Dirham was silver currency. Dinar was gold currency. That's how it was. Okay? But anyway, you could say a dollar. A dollar you spent in the path of Allah. وَدِنَارٌ أَنْفَقْتَهُ فِي رَقَبَةٍ. And a dollar you spent to free a slave or a prisoner. وَدِنَارٌ تَصَدَّقْتَ بِهِ عَلَى مِسْكِينَ. And another dollar that you spent to give charity to someone who's poor. وَدِنَارٌ أَنْفَقْتَهُ عَلَى أَهْلِكَ. And a dollar you spent on your family. So now he gave 4 categories. You could spend a buck in the path of Allah. You could spend it on freeing a slave or a prisoner. You could spend it on helping a poor person. And you could spend it on your own, what? Family. What does he say? أَعْظَمُهَا أَجْرًا الَّذِي أَنْفَقْتَهُ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِكَ. The greatest of all of these when it comes to reward with Allah is the one you spent on your family. This is the Prophet's words, عليه الصلاة والسلام. The greatest of those is the one you spent on your family. Again, this is not so we're extravagant on our families, but that we take care of the fundamental needs of our families. That we take care of, that we don't do zulm on our families. The first people that Allah will ask us about are the people under us, you know. كُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. Every one of you is to be interrogated about your flock, the people under you. Did you provide for them? Did you take care of their needs to the best of your ability? And so finally, I'm going to get now into the ayat themselves. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ. This is the most comprehensive ayah, and probably by Maghrib, if we can just get this ayah done, that's a target. My goal today is to try to get to 264 optimistically between Maghrib and Isha, inshallah. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. The example of those who spend their monies in the path of Allah. كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ أَنْبَتَتْ سَبْعَ سَنَابِلِ. Is the example of somebody, or is the example of a single grain, a single seed, you can say, that gave rise to 7 ears. Ears are not like this ear, but ears of corn or ears of grain, stalks. Okay? So this one stalk comes out and it sprouts 7 branches. And each one of them is kind of splitting open, right? So he's saying that one seed turns into these 7 ears. في كل سنبلة مئة حبة, in every one of these stalks, every one of these ears, there's another 100 grains. وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ, and Allah Himself, He multiplies and enhances for whoever He wants. وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ, and Allah is vast, all-knowing. One seed turned into how many seeds? One seed became 7 stalks, each of those have 100 in them, how many seeds? One seed was multiplied by 700. But 700 what? 700 fruits? No, 700 seeds. By mentioning seed, what does it mean? That seed also gets replanted. And for each one of those seeds, another 7 come out, which turn into how many? 700. And for each one of those, they get replanted. And for each one of those, it comes out and another what? 700. This is an infinitely multiplying 700 times 700 times 700 times 700, and the cycle is nonstop. The cycle just keeps on going. Like crop that grows every year? That's the parable that's been given. This is the example of those who spend in the path of Allah. The first thing I tried to give you was the path of Allah. What does the path of Allah include? The obvious everybody knows. Spending and so now it's time for me to explain the context of these ayat. We're at the end of Surah Al-Baqarah. There's actually a campaign. The Muslims have moved to Medina, it's still early. And the Muslims have to now get ready to face their enemy in Makkah to liberate the Kaaba built by Ibrahim a.s. In order to face that enemy, they have to prepare an army. In order to prepare an army, they have to raise funds. Because the military is the largest part of any budget. You know that, right? So they have to raise funds to be able to prepare that military. And preparing that military for the mission of the Prophet ﷺ is spending in the path of Allah. That's the context of these ayats. Originally, this is about preparation for fighting against the people of Makkah so that the Kaaba could be liberated. That's the original context. But contemporary scholars and others have actually argued something very profound. If you study the ayat about why are we fighting the Meccans? Why were we fighting the people of Mecca? Allah Himself says, وَقَاتِلُوهُمْ حَتَّى لَا تَكُونَ فِتْنَةٌ وَيَكُونَ الدِّينُ لِلَّهِ. Fight them until there's no more fitna. There's no more corruption and tribulation. There's no more attacks on the religion. There's no more reason for people to be misguided, because the Kaaba is where people came to show their reverence to God, to Allah, and they found idols there. That's fitna. That was a house built by Ibrahim a.s. This was an attempt to disrupt the original teachings of the religion of Ibrahim a.s. That needs to come to an end. If you understand that the spending in the path of Allah was to combat that fitna, then you have to understand that fitna changes with every generation. The fitna of the time of the Prophet ﷺ was idols around the Kaaba. The fitna today is something else. Fitna today is idols in people's minds. Fitna today is materialism. Fitna today is atheism. Fitna today is pluralism. Fitna today is a belief in science and not in anything unseen. Fitna today is, why do we need hadith anyway? Quran is enough. Fitna today is, why do we need to interpret the Quran? Why do we need to learn the Arabic of the Quran? We can just think whatever we want from any translation and figure it out on our own. Fitna will take many forms. Then fitna will be another form. Why do we need religion? Well, I just believe in God. I'm a spiritual person. I don't need religion. These are fitna of our time. And how will you combat those fitna? You know? We're gonna have to invest in whatever kills fitna. And as a matter of fact, in Surah At-Tawbah, even there was a group of people Allah mentions, لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. We're about to fight the Roman Empire. We're taking on the Persian Empire. Huge battles are happening. And what does Allah say? A group of people must remain in Medina to study the religion. So they can get a good understanding. Why? Because if the Muslims conquer all this territory, and nobody's there to teach Islam, it's gonna be gone in one generation. You know, an invading force taking over a country, their military occupying a nation, that's an existential threat to a people, isn't it? To their sovereignty. But for the Muslims, there are 2 kinds of threats. There could be a physical threat to Islam, a physical threat to the Muslim life, to Muslim property, Muslims under attack, things like that. But there's an existential threat to our iman also. The land of the Muslims is safe. There's a country, it's majority Muslim. There's nobody attacking us. We're in the majority, and we can hear the adhan and the masajid are there, and your halal meat is available everywhere. But iman is being depleted from the hearts of the young generation. It's being ripped out of them. So much so that in two generations, they might not even want to be Muslim. Maybe not even two generations from now. What's happening in countries like Pakistan, or Bangladesh, or Egypt, or even Saudiya, or parts of Khalij. There's a huge surge in atheism. There's a huge surge in anti-Islamic sentiment among young people. That is a fitna. And we have to spend in the path of Allah so there's no more fitna. So when we identified, yes, spending on your family is spending in the path of Allah. Spending in causes that further education is in the path of Allah. Sir, not just building of masajid. Ya'muru masajid Allah, Quran says. Not just yabni masajid Allah. Yabni masajid Allah would mean those who build the masajid. He says those who develop the masajid. What does development mean? That people inside them are being cultivated. Women are being educated. Children are being educated. Adults are being educated. Youth are being educated. People are learning their deen. They're learning how to understand their faith. They're getting their questions answered. So they can represent Islam everywhere else. So they can be beacons of light everywhere else. That's يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ Allah. It's not just building. It's developing, cultivating, growing the masajid of Allah. That's what Allah Azza wa Jalla talks about in the Quran. So now here, the example of those who spend in the path of Allah. Now I want to get a little bit deeper before the salat comes about this parable. I already gave you the simple translation of it is, it's a seed that grows into 7 stalks, that turns into 100 seeds each. And so it's 700, right? That's the multiplication. But let's dig a little deeper. The first thing I want you to understand is the notion of a seed. You know, when we talk about a seed, it brings to mind farming. And in farming, a seed doesn't grow on its own. A farmer has to carefully what? Plant the seed. Then the farmer has to take care of the soil on top of the seed. Make sure it doesn't get insects, make sure it doesn't get dried up. The farmer has to constantly irrigate the water, the soil. And especially in the early times of the seed, he has to take very delicate care of each one of them, isn't it? And only after that, then Allah Azza wa Jalla will give it barakah and it will grow and turn into something. In other words, there's a partnership between human beings and Allah when it comes to a seed. The farmer has to do his part, and then Allah does His part. أَنْفِقُوا مِنْ طَيِّبَاتِ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ وَمِمَّا أَخْرَجْنَا لَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ Look at the beautiful partnership. Allah says, spend out of the good things that you've earned and what we bring out of the land. Meaning you've got to earn, you've got to put the hard work in. And then Allah will pull it out of the land. The first thing that Allah is mentioning about the habba, about the putting of the seed, Allah is highlighting, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that giving in the path of Allah is actually an effort. And it's based on hard work. It's hard-earned money that's being spent. The second thing to note about the seed is that it's very small and practically insignificant. I mean, there could be thousands of seeds in a field. Allah is only talking about how many? One seed. When somebody plants a seed and buries it, other people walk by, do they even know there's a seed here? No. Nobody realizes. Nowadays, you're walking down the street and you see a tree. Did you ever think one day long ago, somebody said something? Oh, I guess not. Okay. One day long ago, that seed, that tree used to be a seed. That thought doesn't cross my mind. I just see a giant tree. The person who planted that seed that eventually became a tree may not even be alive today, isn't it? What I'm trying to get at is when we give in the path of Allah, it may be something very, very small. And we may not realize that one day this very small thing will turn into a tree. And we may not even see the effects of what we have spent in our own lifetime. Giving the example of a seed is very powerful because it outlives you. You giving in the path of Allah is going to produce good that is beyond your lifetime. Beyond something that you won't even remember that you planted that seed. It's such a small thing. Of the 100 things you did, you planted a seed. You don't even remember. And then you come before Allah on Judgment Day and that seed has turned into 700 times 700 times 700 and you're in shock. That's all for me? That's what I just did with this one little thing. I didn't even realize its effect. Then, the idea of habba, I was looking up the Arabic of it. الزَّرْعُ صَغِيرًا كَانَ أَوْ كَبِيرًا وَاحِدَتُهُ حَبَّ وَالْحَبُّ مَعْرُوفٌ مُسْتَعْبَلٌ فِي أَشْيَاءَ جَمَّ. The Arab says anything that is grown as crop, the word seed, does the word habba can be used for. Anything that's grown as crop. In other words, Allah did not specify which kind of crop in the example. You know what that means? You can spend on any kind of things that are good. There's not one kind of good, just like there's not one kind of crop. Somebody might spend towards the children's education. Somebody might spend towards helping an orphan. Somebody might spend towards helping their family, like I already mentioned. Somebody might spend towards efforts of da'wah, or efforts of education, or efforts of scholarship, so that people can learn their deen and then teach the deen to others. There could be so many efforts that one can spend on, just like there are so many different kinds of seeds. And each one of them give out a sumbula. سَبْعَ سَنَابِلْ فِي كُلِّ سُنْبُلَةٍ مِئَةُ حَبَّةٍ. Then, now this is the one that really excites me, is the perpetual nature of that goodness. You see, back then, I told you the vast majority of the companions were not millionaires. Some people, the only charity they gave was one date. Some people, the only charity they gave was one seed of one date. That's all they gave. But let me tell you something. Today, we're sitting in a masjid discussing these ayat because somebody donated a seed back then. You understand that? That charitable act, which seems so insignificant, is the reason for which continents became Muslim. Is the reason for which thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people were scholars of Islam that taught others. Is the reason for which our parents gave us Islam. We are actually a continuation of that original seed that continues to multiply. It's an incredible sadaqah jariyah, continuous charity that Allah created in this sentiment of giving in the path of Allah. That's why we give. In other words, we're talking about something that return on investment that keeps on going, continuously and endlessly. You know, this is why when someone gives in the path of Allah, in any path of Allah, there are no regrets. There's only happiness. Aisha radiallahu anha would even put perfume on the things she would give in charity. Why? She says it's going to Allah. She would say it's going to Allah. That's why, subhanAllah. And so, some ulama argue that this ayah in particular came at the Battle of Tabuk. And that Tabuk is later, even though this is earlier in the Quran, but Tabuk came at one of the final battles of the Prophet ﷺ, a unique battle for a special reason. Because the Muslims were called to fight on the Roman Empire that had already killed an ambassador of the Muslims. And the Romans were 100,000 strong in force. And the Muslims were not even a percentage in comparison. And so the Prophet ﷺ commanded that there should be a military draft. Every capable man must come out and fight, must join the military, and they have to come up with a valid excuse to be excused from the military. It's basically a draft, an open draft for the military. It was also difficult because this was in the very peak harvest season. The palm trees were full of dates. And if you don't pick them now, they're gonna go bad. So the whole year's labor is going to be destroyed. And the women don't have the capability of climbing up the palm trees, only men can do it. So if the men go, then the crop is gone. For the entire year's labor is finished. And Allah gave the believers then encouragement to go in Allah's path. Why? Because yes, you planted the seed, and you're hoping for the return on your crop, but I've got a much better seed, with much better crop for you. That each one of them will turn into eventually 700 times 700 times 700. That's actually the original context of these ayat. Now, the other beautiful, beautiful thing about this ayat is how it ends. First of all, when we say 700 continuously multiplied, that's already infinite, isn't it? That's already beyond imagination. But more than that, Allah says, وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفْ. Allah, He Himself enhances and multiplies. زَادَ عَلَىٰ أَصْلِ الشَّيْءِ وَجَعَلَهُ مِثْلَهِ أَوْ أَكْثَرُ. The word يُضَاعِفُ, المُضَاعَفَ in Arabic, is to multiply something, double something, or to enhance it more than double in any measure. In other words, Allah will do His own kind of calculation. Understand what I'm saying. Human beings can imagine 700 times 700 times 700. That's still within imagination. Allah says, but there's on top of that a kind of multiplication that's beyond you. And I'll do that too. This is just for you to get an appreciation. But above and beyond that, there's another multiplication that only Allah can handle, that you, your minds can't handle. وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ. And then what does he say? لِمَنْ يَشَى. For whoever he wants. Now what does that mean, for whoever he wants? It means for those who made more of an effort to sacrifice. The ones, you know, if everybody in this room gave $10 in charity, for example. Everybody gave $10 in charity. Does it mean that every one of you, it was equally difficult to give $10? No. Some people, the only thing they had in their savings was $11, and they gave 10. Some people had $1 million, and they gave 10. Quantitatively, everybody just has 10. But with Allah, the one who had 11 and then they gave 10, that is worth far more, and Allah will reward that far more than someone who gave less, and it was more difficult, less difficult for them, you understand? So Allah will multiply. But the man yasha means whoever comes with whatever, however much will to be rewarded, however badly they wanted Allah to forgive their sins and earn rewards with Him, the more sacrifice they made, the more Allah is going to multiply by His calculations. And that's for Allah to know, that we cannot judge. So when a fundraising happens, by the way, there's not going to be a fundraiser at the end of this. When a fundraising ever happens, and you're being asked to give, and you believe in the charitable cause, and you only gave $1, and somebody else gave $500,000, and when somebody gave $500,000, we're like, takbir! Because it's a really long takbir, because it's a really big check. But somebody put $1 in, like, oh look, $1, that's nice. Anybody else with another $500,000? But you know what? The angels may be doing a much bigger takbir for that $1. They may be far more interested in that one than that 500,000 be even. It's possible, isn't it? So don't underestimate the value of what you give, because it might just be a seed. That's why the seed example is given. What's smaller than a seed? Somebody asks you, could you give me charity, and you hand them a seed. You're like, that's it? Give me 2 seeds at least. You know? Just 1 seed? And so Allah is telling us not to take any of our givings and underestimate them. To actually truly value when we give for the sake of Allah. May Allah accept our charitable giving. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla help us understand the message of the Quran. I have 1 minute left, so I'll share with you the 2 names of Allah here. And it's pretty simple. Allah ends the ayah by saying, وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Allah multiplies however He wants. Allah is wasi'. Allah is expansive. Allah Himself is expansive. So can you imagine when He is wasi', how much He will give? You know, Allah says in Quran, لِيُنْفِقْ ذُو سَعَةٍ مِّن سَعَتِهِ. The one who has more wealth should give according to their wealth. If you're a millionaire, give an expensive gift. Allah says, Allah is wasi'. Can you imagine how He multiplies then? Because His expanse is unlimited, His giving, His multiplication will be unlimited. And there's no way for you to know that. That is only for Allah to know. And that's why He says, وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Allah knows. There's no way for you to encompass how vast He is, and there's no way for you to encompass how much He will expand the reward of your giving. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us of those who give and is accepted of them. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim, wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikri al-Hakim. After the sunnah, we'll reconvene again, inshallah.